And let's begin in Acts chapter 20. And I've preached this before, usually after revival, and usually got different reactions to it. I remember one time I preached this. The subject I want to preach about this morning is if God gave you revival or started revival, guard it. Amen? Okay. The Bible likens revival 24. To a fire. And how many of you have ever started a fire before, especially outside? Not necessarily in a fireplace, because, you know, it's kind of sheltered and it's fairly easy most of the time to get a fire started in the fireplace, but you're out there camping, you know, and you got the wind blowing, and you start it out. Sometimes it starts out with just especially before matches, you know, you're rubbing sticks together, getting some kind of friction going, and they started with something they call flax in the Bible days. That's where the idea that Jesus, instead of Jesus, that he would not quench a smoking flax. It was a type of a material, kind of, the way I understand it, kind of like cotton, and it's used many times to get a fire started. And once it started to smolder, you had to kind of guard it from being the wind blowing on it, blowing it out, or something like that. And then after it gets up a little bit more, you start to gently blow on it. And you know, you add a little wind to it, and then it, all of a sudden the flames start. And then you add kindling to that. And it's a little... You know, when I was in the Boy Scout, I didn't learn much, but I learned how to start a fire. Amen? Sometimes I think all the Boy Scouts do is create little fire bugs. They just like start a fire. Then you, once you get the kindling going, it's a little bit bigger. Then you get little bit bigger sticks. And then before you know it, you got this huge flame. It starts from something. One time, the first time I ever preached this passage, I preached about grievous wolves coming in, not sparing the flock. And we will talk about that. And I said, you got to guard your Bible. You got to watch your Bible. Then, you know, at the end of the service, sometimes, you know, I say, has anybody got any other words? My song leader jumps up and says, yeah, I want to say something. I said, what? He says, I want to resign. I'm just saying. Well, he got mad at his sister on the piano before a service, and it was smoldering, but the wrong kind of smoldering. And, I said, well, brother, and this is a true story, I would like for you to resign if that's what you want to do, but you resigned about a month ago, and you're just filling in until somebody else will take your place. He said, I'm going to sit back down, and I'm telling you, until the time I left, he still fled the same and resigned. Paul, he was an evangelist. He was a missionary. He was a preacher. And apparently he was here with the church at Ephesus for a period of around 3 years. That's what he talks about. But now he had to go. He had to continue on his missionary journey. He had to continue on where God wanted him and all of this. And he called the elders of the church together. He called the church, literally, called the church together. And this is his farewell address. The evangelist is gone. The evangelist has to go back to his work. So, Bendel, we're here together again. And I want you to know that I can look around and I can tell that God spoke to some folks' hearts. Amen. Amen. Different things, different levels. But if he spoke to your heart this week, I want you to listen to the message this morning. Let's start with verse 25, I think. And now, behold, I know that ye all among whom I have gone preaching the kingdom of God shall see my face no more. Wherefore, I take you to record this day that I am pure from the blood of all men. For I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God. Take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock over the which the Holy Ghost made you overseers to feed the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood. For I know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing. Verse 30. Also, of your own self shall men arise, speaking perverse things, to draw away disciples after them. Therefore, watch. And remember that by the space of 3 years I cease not to warn everyone night and day with you. And now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and to give you an inheritance among all them which are sanctified.
But Bobby,
you lead our hearts.
Heavenly Father God, we just thank you again, Lord, for the opportunity to be in your house today. Father, we just ask you, Lord, to help us this morning, Father, to help us, Lord, open our hearts and minds, Father, and help us turn our hearts and minds toward you this morning, Father, so that we can see the things you have for us this morning, Father, through your word. Pray that you just do Brother Willie standing for us. We pray, Lord, is anyone here this morning, Father, that's lost, that doesn't know you as their Savior. We pray, Lord, that you deal with their heart this morning, Father, that you wouldn't give them any rest until they come to you to be saved. And we just thank you, Lord, for your salvation. We thank you for your Son that you sent here to die for us, Father. And we just thank you for this little one that was baptized with you, Father. We thank you for her. We just ask you, Lord, to help us as a church, Lord, to pray for her and pray, uplift her in prayer, Father, and help her learn, Father. We just thank you for that, Father. We just thank you again, Lord, for your many blessings. And we ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Let me ask you something real quick this morning. And I know how much Venable hates raising their hand. But I want, if the devil gave you a reason this morning to stay home and you came anyway, would you raise your hand? Okay. I'm telling you, I'm the preacher and I didn't feel like coming this morning. Amen? I'll tell you what, I feel like a shirt full of sore bones this morning. It seemed like I'd just been beat down. Amen? Yesterday was a bad day. We went to the association meeting, and I was passing up stops or turned. I couldn't concentrate on nothing. Amen? It just seemed like everything that could go wrong. The last thing Michelle told me Friday night is don't forget the association letter. Guess what? Saturday morning, I ran out, forgot the associational letter. It's sitting right there where Michelle pointed it out, told me where not to forget it. You know, she didn't hide it. I just forgot it. Amen. Had to come down here and look for something to the church. Caleb got there to the house. We came down here. I go pick up Bobby. Michelle calls, not Bobby, Stephen. And Michelle called whenever we're just about here, said, did you remember the letter? I said, nope, I didn't. I got to come back and get it. And then running late, I hate being late. I'm always late, but I hate it. And so I said, well, I guess I'm going to have to call Brother Donnie and tell him I can't come get him. And anyway, I called. Brother Donnie gave me his number, but it turned out to be Miss Mary's number. And so Miss Mary answered the phone, and I said, Brother Donnie's still going? And she said, yeah, he is. And I said, okay, I'll be there in a minute. Amen. I didn't tell her I was planning on that saying, well, I can't come get you. Got over there, and I'm the moderator of the association. I can't be late, but I'm about to be late. And then Brother Donnie got in the car, and that little turret took off heading toward Wolf Creek, and we made it with 3 minutes to spare. Didn't have time to get a cup of coffee, but I wasn't late. Amen. Now, let me tell you what the Bible says here concerning what I believe was a 3-year revival meeting that they had. Paul preached to these folks day and night for 3 years. Can you imagine that? We get tired after 1 week of revival and all that. And I know we are. And it's not because we don't like revival. It's just that we're busy. I understand that. But Paul warned them that, hey, I'm about to leave. It's time for you to get on with your daily business, church. You know, most of us, we don't spend most of our time up on the valley or up on the mountain or down in the valley. Usually, we're somewhere mediocre. Not too exciting, not too devastating. We're just there. Sometimes we wear ruts in the road that we go all the time. Amen. That's where we are. Paul addresses them. He says that, for I know this. In verse 29. It's almost like he's seen it before. He says, for I know this, that after my departure, grievous wolves will enter you. I will talk about grievous wolves for just a minute. The word grievous means hard to bear, hard to be born, hard to carry. Folks, can I tell you, whenever we talk about the parable of the seed and the sower, and the man went about sowing seeds, and he started talking about some fell upon stony ground. Some fell upon ground that the thorns sprang up, and different types of ground. Well, the thorn that sprung up, that was the things of life. Amen? Can I tell you something? Life is going to happen. And sometimes the road is going to be blocked. Paul here speaks of the grievous wolves not sparing the flock. Can I tell you something this morning? I heard some of them wolves baying. Amen. Started howling or whatever wolves do. But the word grievous means hard to be born, hard to carry, hard to get on with. Let me tell you something. God has blessed you this week with revival, the starts of revival. I don't think it's not fair to say that no one got overly revived this week, but folks started getting revived. Started feeling the winds of revival starting to blow. The devil's going to try everything he can to stop them and get them out. He might be using the person next to him. You know, sometimes we forget the Bible is very clear that we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers of darkness, against rulers in wicked places. Can I tell you something this morning? The devil is out to stomp out any revival that God wants to produce.
Oh, yeah.
The grievous war will enter in, not sparing the son. He says also, of your own self shall men arise, speaking perverse things, to draw away disciples after them. That's false teaching. You see what? They got a lot of false teachers out there. They got a lot of false teachers that want to draw you away, that want to derail you and want to bring you over to some strange thing. I don't understand why God's people are always looking for something new, but they are. Amen. And folks will rather believe a lie from a false teacher than the truth from their pastor.
That's right.
Amen.
Amen. You know, I've seen it. Here's another thing about revival. One, that we're easily distracted with other things. But two, sometimes I've seen this. Someone get a revival, they get excited for God, they start reading and looking at any and everything, and they're hungry for the things of God, then a false teacher come into their life, and then they'll get derailed and start following that false teacher. And then all of a sudden they know more than the preacher. You ever seen that, Brother Don? Amen. Your pastor don't know everything. Don't say amen so loud and shut. But let me tell you one thing about your pastor that you better not ever forget. He loves you from the bottom of his heart. I don't claim to be perfect. I've been around y'all long enough, y'all see I ain't perfect. Let me tell y'all something. There's not another man in this world that would be a preacher or pastor that can love his church more than I love God. Paul said that. And he's speaking to the elders, and he's also speaking to the congregation. I know this, that my departing, grievous wolves come in, not sparing the flock. The devil don't care about who you are in your family. He wants to destroy you. You better be on guard. He says, I also know this, beware of false teachers. Seems like everybody's looking for something these days. Something that's not extra. How could anybody believe something? I just thought of this. Like the Da Vinci Code. Like God would write the Bible with some kind of secret code in it. And you got to take four letters out of every word and turn it around, read it backwards, stand on your head, and all this kind of stuff. Whatever it is. I don't care what it is. Let me tell you something. God wrote the Bible in plain language. Almost said plain English. That would have been right. He's not trying to hide stuff from you. He's trying to tell you exactly what he wants. He's not trying to put codes. He's not trying to play games. He's not trying to hide things. He's trying to reveal them in the pure word of God. We don't need nothing new. Things I said back there about Lady Salvation, it began 2,000 years ago. Well, it was fulfilled 2,000 years ago. Just as good as if it had already been done. Before that, it was decided before the first man was even created. That's the pure word of God. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. That whosoever shall believe in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. It don't get no simpler than that.
Amen.
God loves him. So what are we to do? Verse 31. He says, therefore, walk. Brothers and sisters, listen to this little short fat preacher this morning, and you understand. you better be watching the things around you. You better be watching your kids. You better be watching your family. You better be watching yourself. Every time, just about every time that you read where the Bible says that we're to watch, the Bible says we're to walk circumspectly. That word circumspectly, that's the root word there, is where we get our spectacles from. It means to walk with our eyes open. You better walk. But it always includes praying. Watching praying. Walk. Paul admonishes this church. Therefore, walk. He also admonishes them to remember what was said. What was said. What was done. Folks, we need to watch. We need to pray. We need to remember. Amen, Brother Paul. We will watch. We will pray. Amen, Brother Paul. We will not forget. We will not let the Bible die here at that. Some years later, I don't know how long later, some years later, it had to have been within this generation because the preacher that wrote to him sometime later was alive at the same time Paul worked it out. Then in the book of Revelation, another preacher wrote it at the direction of the Lord himself, a letter to the angel, to the pastor of this beloved church. And you know what it said? You have left your first love. Isn't that something? Brother Willie, that'll never happen here. If it'll happen in Ephesus, it could very well happen here. I believe those seven churches in Asia Minor, I believe they were literal, real churches in that day. I believe there were seven of them that God wrote to because it gave a complete picture of the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, some people think that that's seven different church ages. If you want to believe that, that's fine. I don't have a problem with that. But let me tell you, seven is the divine completeness, and it shows the entire picture of the church. Can I tell you something? You can see a little Ephesus at Bethel Baptist Church. You can see a little Sardis at Bethel Baptist Church. You can see a little Laodicea at Bethel Baptist Church. Amen. In God, to give us a complete picture. Have you got revival this week? Brother, Father, we have a song.